you to turn in your Bible to Romans 3, verse 21 through 22. We look at this with how guilty sinners are clear. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being written by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remembrance of sins of the past, through the forbearance of God, to declare by faith at this time his righteousness. He receives and the testifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Would you bow for a word of prayer? Our Father, lead us and guide us by the blessed Holy Spirit to see and behold the Lord Jesus Christ and the glory of God for your grace. We thank you for this time of worship. Now may we truly remove every hindrance from the obstacle of the true worship. Let that matter that would bless us. And know that your grace is included in our every day. And that we are drawn to you, we are drawn away from other things that would indeed hinder us. Now we pray that you will get your honor and glory from everything that is said and done with all these things in Christ's name. Amen. How guilty sinners are clear. Charles Spurgeon made a salty statement that I read recently, and I just want to incorporate it. He said, the time will come when shepherds no longer feed the sheep, but rather clowns will entertain the goats. That salty is not, but I promise that it will be. How true that can become. To be a shepherd that feeds the sheep. And to feed the sheep means you've got to have a trust to feed the sheep. And I trust that you have a desire for the Word of God that you might be enriched and you might, if possible, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul has pointed out in chapter 1. People are different. Point out in chapter 2 of Romans that religious people, and there are surely no more religious people on the face of the earth than the Jews. Religious people are likewise different. And it sums it all up in verse 19 because the whole world, as a matter of fact, is guilty before. I will turn to the Bible to Exodus chapter 34 and look at a little statement that God Himself, through Moses, made, and how we want to see this matter and see how to better understand how God has dealt with it. Look at the statement in Exodus 34, verse 1. Where it says that God will by no means clear the guilty. But according to Paul's writings, God has found a way, and the only way is by grace. By grace. Now, Paul has labored to show that we are not right. We deserve God's judgment and wrath. We are victims. We are bound in this. We're running from God. We're not searching for our fortune, according to verse 11 of this chapter 3. We could be described as like the drowned man who backs off, who would be a rescuer. We're like that by nature. Remember when you were unsaved, you wanted to have nothing to do with Christ, with God. You fought off a rescuer, a rescuer. So on our own, we are what
all hear a mountain and reason for hope. We will see the how God can say, not guilty, but in the believer. After we have prayed the prayer, God, we may well call us the first four words from our text that conducts us to us. The word justification, the word redemption, the word propitiation, and the word demand. Those four words encompass our text, and it encompasses our own salvation. With that first word, we are justified by grace and through faith. We are justified freely, he says, by his grace. The relationship in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be justified? Well, when we're justified, we're brought in line with God's standards. Remember, God demands righteousness. He demands a perfect standard. When we're justified, we are brought into line with God's standards. Now, the term justified is a legal term which means to be declared. It's to be declared just. When a judge pronounces you innocent, you no longer have to fear the law. In other words, all the charges are removed and they will never be brought up against you again. When we're justified in our relationship with God, it means that we are declared innocent. We are declared innocent or not guilty. In other words, our sin is erased. We have a standard of God in which He is justified. I declare you to be this way. That doesn't mean that we are righteous, but He declares us to be righteous. When we use the word grace and the word faith, to help us to better understand it. But the word grace is used by Christians all over the world, all the time, but it may not be fully understood. Martin Lloyd Jones makes it that he said that there is no more wonderful word than the word grace. The word grace means undeserved favor. And it means further than more than that. It means undeserved favor to someone who is very undeserved. It means that a gift has been bestowed upon someone that is totally undeserved. And that is also someone who makes this. And then the word faith, we're not saying because of our faith, but we're saying through our faith. In other words, faith is not a work that we do. From the dimensions teach them. Great is God's work, faith is your work. Well, no, that's wrong. Faith is that it's a gift of God. Ephesians 2:8-9 makes that very clear. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that God gives us to be the gift of God. But still, that faith is not a work, turn over to the next chapter, chapter 4 of Romans, and look at this powerful statement in verse 5. It says this, but to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justified is ungodly, that first sanctification for righteousness. That one that is not to see that faith is not a work. To him that worketh not, but believes. So believing faith is not a work. Suppose you owed a whole bunch of money because of your own foolishness you were not able to pay. But someone who was able to pay them heard your situation, took it from them, paying that, and announced to you that they did it with no feelings of much. There never been an act of grace on that person's part. And when you accept the work that the other person did, when you receive the duty that it has been done, you would be an act of faith. But understand this, that after faith, after this faith, you added nothing to the payment of the debt. the person who paid the debt, took care of the whole thing. And your repentance added absolutely nothing to the debt. Your acceptance of the debt did not mean that you now deserve the debt. What you did was believe what the person told you. In other words, you took him at his word. He's taking God at his word. So if you want to turn to Titus chapter 3 and look at this passage in verse 5 through 7, it was not by work of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of resurrection that he's been born again, and he knew of the Holy Ghost, which he fell of bodily through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Justified by his grace. A wonderful statement. Lord Jones said, there's no more wonderful word than the word grace. What does it mean to you? To say, that is said concerning your soul, that you're saved by God's amazing grace. He looked not for any merit in you, you had none. He didn't look for any goodness you had done. He didn't look for any righteousness, although he demanded it. You had none. Now, that's what he said. Here in verse 11, say, that not that he was after God. This is grace method. And the way of salvation is the same to anyone and anyone. To the Jew or the Gentile. To the people in the Old Testament, to the people in the New Testament, it's the same. It's a little odd that Paul said in verse 3, there's no difference for all that's the word of the Lord God. Paul already stated that growing down. But here he is reminding us that there are not different ways of salvation for different people. It's the same for the Jew, for the bond, the given, the bond, the free, doesn't matter. It's the same way of salvation. There's only one way of salvation, because all of us, every one of us, we're in the same boat. We're all sinners who cannot be saved apart from the act of mercy and of grace. So our first word is the word of justification. Be it known unto you men and brethren, as the Eternal says, that through this man preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, by him, all that believe are justified from all things, by which we will not be justified through the law of Moses. Our second word is the word redemption. In verse 24, be justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, King James used the word redemption for freed us from the penalty of our sins. Now, the word redemption was taken on you and me because if we really understand it, we're slaves, but we don't. All we can do is bless us on maybe prior to the Civil War, when slavery, before it was abolished, or in countries, even the day where there is still some degree of slavery, whether it's or whatever it is. Well, redemption refers to buying back or paying a ransom price in order to eliminate and eliminate a debt. Well, this is what the God of Washington has done. Sin creates a moral debt that we can repay. But God graciously supports his own begotten Son. On the cross. In our world, the need for redemption, I believe, to be in the concept of mortgage system, which is allowed to claim a are written on our lives. And we might call it our lives. But listen, before we were saved, we were tested by Him. We were in His We were under the governorship of Satan. We were controlled by the prince of the power of the air. But here's what happened. Jesus paid an impossible mortgage of sin that was laid against our lives. Look at this statement in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, where it says, please, Christ gave His own force that we might redeem us from all iniquity and divide us as a new people, the sons of His works. Notice, who gave His own force for this purpose, to redeem us from all iniquity. That's the question. Are you wrestling with that? Are you satisfied with that? It doesn't matter if it's father and daughter, it doesn't matter. It is finished. It's saying there, He gave Himself to redeem us from all redemption. What a wonderful word is this. But let's look at the third word. The third word is in verse 25. So, if you whom God has set forth, God set Him forth. Now, we know that with the Jesus, the passage of the cross, but it was God setting Him forth to be the propitiation for our sins to get blood. In human terms, propitiation means appeasing someone who is angry. But that's not what it means in the Bible. Propitiation in the Bible means the satisfying of God's holy law, the meaning of His just demands so that God can fully forgive those who look to Christ. Now, let's consider this in the Bible, an Old Testament practice of the Hebrew people. In the religious the one day of the year called the Day of Atonement, the Great Day of Atonement, in which God commanded two animals to come to the Jews, one for a sacrifice, one for a sin offering, but that represented the one who was to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. The high priest only was to set one goat, and he would slay it, and his blood. He would go into the Holy of Holies. Only one here was allowed to go there in this manner. And he would sprinkle upon the mercy seven times the blood of this sacrifice. This is a bloody affair. And then after that, he would come out having changed his garments and get this worked out in Christ. Then he would lay his hands upon that earth day, the fifth day, and commit all the sins of Israel. And then his sins would be rolled forward for another year. And then, at this moment, who had been chosen, and the confession of the Lord Jesus Christ, would take that scapegoat out into a wilderness place, uninhabited, never to be seen again. In the Bible, the Greek word for forgiveness is the word effect, which has many meanings to it. It means remember. It also means to put away, to send away, to send forth. And so, in taking that skin coat out into that uninhabited world, never to be seen again, it pictures for us what He did with our skin upon the cross and for God laid upon Him our sins and our needs. He bore them in His own body. He bore them away. They were sent away. In other words, our forgiveness was covered when God did that upon His Son. He did in Him our sins so that He could give us the glory of His own righteousness. that he was mixed up for people. God was satisfied in the kingdom of Israel. A year later, of course, the text is doing all things. Heal the one who will heal all the steps which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we read this wonderful text of Hebrews 9:26. Now, watch in the end of the age, Christ appeared, the put away sin, by the sacrifice of him. Now, if you think upon that, and what it leads to, we can say that God's work is a perfect act of justice and mercy at the same time. When God made out his wrath for our sin upon his only begotten Son, the blood of animals is not kept away from such degrading things, such horrible things, and not an animal can take it away, so God has given his own begotten Son to take it away. And he, God, came forth to be the propitiation through his blood for our sins. And then the fourth word, which is the word blood. And we'll see that in verse 25 as well. Now, you're trying to look at this chapter. One is a difference of this difference. Because we will be fully aware that blood is the life. Someone drain the blood out of your body to be healed. Blood is life. Look at Leviticus 17, verse 14. The life of all flesh is the blood and we know that. The life of all flesh is the blood thereof. The radical nature of sin means that we can be ultimately failed with a payment or even punishment. It has to be settled with a life for a life. The cross is in blood. We can ask the question, not that I'm anything in blood, but it means something that we can do. Everything included in our lives is painted by one of the great Bible scholars who made a statement one time that the best prayer that all were offered was so painted with sin that would have bound the whole world. It's true. You see, we, everything about us is painted with sin. Only a perfect life offered on our behalf to overcome the odds that were created by our sin. And that on the cross is much more than punishment. It was the death of the Savior in order that he and I could have life. The wounds that he bore us make the shedding of his blood. And I ask you a question. He takes the pain. Did it to be? Well, look at it in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. It's this little statement in this verse where that he made peace by the blood of his cross. I mean, destitute of peace. Well, how did we get to all this? Here's what we find in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he made peace. The blood of his cross. Come back to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2,
verse 13. Look at this little verse from this passage that he made peace, not only by the blood of the cross, but he made us united by the blood of the cross. You that were sometimes far are made united by the blood of the cross. From Matthew chapter 1 and 6, verse 7, whom we have redeemed through his blood, the forgiveness according to God, according to the riches of his love, come back to that all of us. So when God said in 4 verse 7, that he can by no means clear the guilty, can you imagine the deliverance that still was prevalent today? If we didn't know what God had done, he could by no means clear the guilty. I trusted unto the guilty that all was proven. Absolutely. That we're all guilty. Verse 19. That every man must be found. And the whole world stand guilty before God. That is biblical truth. How can God see me? We declare that we're justified, that we're saved. How is this that among us that only one can come in? Well, what will we get from this? What lesson or what application can this bring about? Well, this is something that should bring us hope in your life. The fact that there is hope for a new beginning. Often lift up our spirits. Because then, every morning that you look in the mirror, on the best of your days, you are looking at a person that's not being a righteous person. Did you do this morning? I know you did. You were looking at a person who's not living a righteous life. Whether you realize it or not, I'm sure that you realize it. You don't. I hope that you will. But you and I are like the lost sheep. A sheep is something to be one of the other animals on the face of the earth. I couldn't figure out where I'm going. Don't really like the sheep. I really don't understand it. That
bondage to our sin. For God didn't kill to us the truth, but the gospel that the Lord has produced. And that's what makes the cross all in being done through the sacred sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's how he gets to the altar for the cross and the He will be in the door of honor. And he found you. And he brought you back. Rejoice in you. Let the living back in our spirit and rejoice that God will find a way to hear you. It's all about his. One not going to be under the development of your condition. I love expecting the third birth of it. Oh, to grace, I pray a day or two, and then some day, let that grace fly better. Not in that wonder, but in all the wonder, Lord, I've been called to me, the God of my heart, make this thing for me, for it's You this morning by God's grace in you and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at him if you're a lost sinner. If you're lost, he will get you before God. And if you wait for a guilty sinner, he will be Jesus. That's great. I'm going to be